Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Lamed Aleph at the new Mishnah. Shnei Kadorim Shohoyu Mahalchim Ze Achar Ze. Kadorim are individuals that sell or produce pottery. So we'll describe them as two Kadorim that were walking one after the other, carrying jugs. V'niskal Horishon V'nofal. The first one tripped and fell. V'niskal Hasheni Borishon. And the fellow tailing him also fell. He fell on the first guy. Horishon Chayov V'nizke Sheni. The first one is responsible to compensate for damages to the second individual. The Gemara. Now, before we read the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei, a topic heading, and you'll notice some markings are also featured. The comment in the margin reads, Hoyu Shnayim Hochin, two were walking along, V'niskal Hasheni Borishon, and the second guy trips on the first guy that had fallen. Harishon Chayov, Le Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the obligation upon the first individual, why does he have to offer restitution for damages to the second party? Because Hoya Loi La Amoy, Velo Omad, he could have stood up and did not. He tarried in his fallen position until he got up. But in the meantime, the second fellow tripped over him. So he could have gotten up and didn't. L'Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, another opinion that appears in the Gemara, Afilu lo hoyo lo lamod chayov. Even if there was, we'll say, even less time that existed between the fall of the first guy and the tripping of the second fellow, there wasn't enough time for the first guy to get up. Still, he bears responsibility. He should have warned the second fellow, hey, watch out, buddy. And he didn't warn. We now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, lo temo masnisin Rabbi Meir hi diomar niskal posheo v'chayov. Don't limit our Mishnah to Rabbi Meir, who holds, as we've learned in the past, that tripping is an act of negligence. Tripping is considered poshea, negligence, and hence you bear responsibility for whatever damage follows. So we're telling you, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, don't say that our Mishnah is limited to Rabbi Meir. Elafilu l'rabbonon diamri onesu poter. However, even according to the Rabbonon, who say that the act of tripping is considered something beyond one's control, and you would be exempt from needing to compensate for damage that happens therefrom. Hochochayev. In our Mishnah, though, there is culpability, even according to the Rabbonah. And so Rabbi Yochanan is setting up our Mishnah as follows. Shohoyoloi lamoy v'lo omad. The first fellow who fell had enough time to get up, and he didn't. He tarried on the ground, and that as a result, the second fellow tripped over him. Had he stood up within the time frame that would have enabled him to stand up, so the second guy wouldn't have tripped over him. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, a second approach, says, Omar afilu tema lo hoya lo lamod. The guilt in the Mishnah is even in a case where he didn't have enough time to stand up before the second guy tripped over him, still the first fellow is responsible. Hoya loy lehaz here velo he is here. He should have warned the fellow coming from behind, hey, watch out! And he didn't do so. For Rabbi Yochanan's response to that, Rabbi Yochanan Omar kevon de lo hoya lo lamod. Since, according to the scenario of Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he didn't have enough time to stand up. It was so quick after his fall that the second guy tripped over him. Lo hoya lo lahazir, the Torah. We don't expect the person who just fell to also have the calmness of mind, the state of mind, to warn someone coming up from behind. So we don't expect him to have warned him because of Torah. He was too confounded by the fall that he just experienced. So if things happened that quickly that he didn't have enough time to get up and just enough time to warn, we don't expect him to have warned within that short time frame. That's Rabbi Yochanan's response to Rav Nachman. As you see, we have a house shape, and on the side of the Gemara, the house introduces Kushyos al Rabbi Yochanan. These are questions that are posed to Rabbi Yochanan. Tanan, Hoya Baal Kira Rishon, Ubal Chovis Achron. Two people are walking along. First fellow is a Baal Kira. He's carrying a beam. Behind him is a Baal Chovis, someone carrying a jug. Chovis is a jug or a barrel. Nishbara Chovis Bekoira Potter. If the Chovis, who was coming up from behind, he was the second fellow, rammed into the beam that was being carried in front of him, so the Baal Kora, the owner of the beam, the fellow carrying the beam, is exempt. Ve'im Omad Baal Kora Chayav. If, however, the fellow carrying the beam stood still, then the Baal HaKorah is responsible and has to compensate for the jug carried by the fellow coming from behind that as a result of the Baal HaKorah, the beam carrier standing still, so the fellow carrying the jug rammed into it and it broke. And that's why Baal HaKorah is chayav. My lav, is it not so, sha'omad l'katef, that the fellow carrying the beam that stood still really for a moment, enough time, l'katef. L'katef is to adjust that which you are carrying, in this case carrying a beam on your shoulder, enough time to adjust it while, to adjust the burden that he was carrying. The urchehu means that's normal behavior. It's normal for people to stop, to pause in their walking in order to adjust things they're carrying. V'kotoni chayav. And this source is telling us that the Baal HaKorah is chayav. He's culpable. Why? Dehave le lahazir. He should have warned the Baal Chovis from coming behind. Hey, just wait a minute. You should have said, just a moment, I have to adjust my beam. Just, he should have warned him. Like, stop, you're going to otherwise ram into me. So we see from here an expectation, if not carried through, results in guilt. The expectation being, you are expected to warn someone coming from behind. And that's not like Rabbi Yochanan. Lo. Kishomad Lofush. The culpability here is because when he stood still, the fellow carrying the beam, he stood still in a public thoroughfare to Lofush, to rest. That's odd. People don't do that. They don't stop still. They don't stop dead in their tracks in a public thoroughfare to rest. And that's why the fellow carrying the beam is Chayef. He did something unusual, which led to the damage. Avol, omad likatef mai, According to Rabbi Yochanan, according to what he just said, what would be the case then if he stood just to adjust the beam? What and the jug broke? Potter, you're suggesting that that would be exemption for the beam carrier. Well, if that's the case, Aditoni Seifa, instead of the continuation of that source teaching as follows, V'im Omar Lo Labal Chovis Amod Potur, if the beam carrier warned the jug carrier, stand still, Amod Potur, that would be reason for exemption. So we see that this Tanaic source does teach exemption. But how does it teach exemption? It teaches exemption in a case where he spoke up. Speaking up results in exemption. Liflog velusni bedida. Couldn't a distinction have been taught within the case of standing? Two kinds of standings as follows. This is what the source could have taught if what we are explaining is correct. Namely, when is their obligation? If he stood still to rest. But if he stood still to simply adjust the beam, he would be exempt. Now, that would be the more reasonable way for a Tanaic source to present a contrast between when is their chiyuv, when is their culpability, and when is their ptur, when is their exemption. Now, it didn't do that. The reason for it must be that we wouldn't see a distinction. Namely, even Omad Likasef would have been chayav. We thereby would be reinstating our question . The Gemara says no. Omad Likasef, which is normal behavior, is not going to result in culpability. Ha kol mashmalon, the source as it is telling me as follows. The afal gav the omad lofush, even if someone behaves in an unusual fashion, he stops to rest in the middle of a thoroughfare. Ki ka'omar lo labal chovas amod potter. If he warns the fellow coming from behind carrying the jug, stand still, he would be exempt. So the point of the source was to tell me the following contrast, namely that even if you're doing something unusual, which is reason for guilt, if you warned, you would achieve exemption. Toshma. Hakadorim, the house of course indicates, and we're going to reinstate our question on Rabbi Yochanan from a new source. Toshma, Hakadorim, Vazagogin, Kadorim, as we explained earlier, people that deal with jugs, pottery, and Zagogim are glass makers. Shahoyu Mahalchin Ze Achar Ze. They were walking one behind the other. Niskal, Horishon, Venofal. The first fellow fell. He tripped and fell. Viniskal Hasheni Borishon. Hashlishi Basheni. And then a second guy fell on the first guy, and a third guy fell on the second guy. Rishon Chayov Benizge Sheni. Visheni Chayov Benizge Shlishi. The first fellow is obligated for damages done to the second fellow, and the second fellow is obligated to compensate for damages to the third fellow. Vim Machmas Rishon Oflu. And if they all fell as a result of the first guy, then Rishon Chayav Benizke Kulan. The first guy is then obligated to compensate for the damage to each one of them. Vim Hiziru Ze Ezeb Turim. And if one warned the other, then by his issuing a warning, he would achieve exemption from any damage that would result afterwards. My love, is it not so, Shelo Hoyolohen Lamoid, that the case is, even if they didn't have enough time to stand up, there still would have been guilt. That is against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that if there wasn't enough time to stand up, we have no expectation for them to warn. So that even without the warning, they would be innocent. But that's not what this source seems to say. If we are assuming, like we just did, that they didn't have enough time to stand up, and they still would bear guilt, that would be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, lo, shehoyo lohen lamoy. The reason for guilt, if they don't warn, is because they had enough time to stand up and they didn't do so. They tarried in their fallen position, resulting in others tripping over them. The Gemara continues, avolo hoyo lohem lamod mai, and if there wasn't enough time for them to stand up, what would be the law? Potter, you're suggesting then there would be exemption. Ihochi aditoni seifa, if that be the case, then instead of the seifa teaching exemption as a result of a different act, the act of warning, Im, the Seifa said, we read this before, Im hiziru ze eze potter, if the previous fellow warns the fellow coming from behind, stand, don't keep walking, then the fellow that fell would be exempt. Liflog v'lisni b'didok, couldn't a distinction have been made within the case of standing? As follows, Bamed v'mumurim, when is there guilt? Shahoyo lohen lamoid, that there was enough time to stand up before the second guy fell. Avolo hoyo lohen lamoid turin, but if there wasn't enough time to stand up, all there would have been is enough time to warn. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no expectation to do so within such a short time frame. There would be turin; they would be exempt. So why doesn't the source teach that? Is it not because even if there wasn't enough time to stand up, there still would be guilt, reinstating the problem for Rabbi Yochanan? The Gemara says, not so. Ha komash malon. The point of the source above was to tell me something else. The afagav dehoyo lohen lamod, that even if there was enough time to stand up, ki hiziru ze ezeb turin, if a warning is issued, they could achieve exemption for damage that happens later. So as far as Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is concerned, he will say he deflected all the questions that were raised against him. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side in our margin under the Nosei/Mivneh heading. A crown shape appears, and the crown shape indicates Gimel Shlovim. There are three stages, and the crown shape you'll see is accompanied by a Roman numeral numbering scheme. So they represent Gimel Shlovim, three stages, Bahavonas Divrei Rava. In trying to understand what Rava says, Ma Heim Hachiyuvim Shel Horishon V'Shel Hasheni, what are the financial obligations regarding the first fellow and the second fellow, Legabi Gufon U'Mimoinon Shehiziku? When they fell, first guy fell carrying articles. So he fell, the man himself fell, and his articles fell. Someone coming up from behind falls on either the person or fell on one of his articles, and as a result experienced bodily damage. In addition, the second fellow was also carrying his own articles, and they broke. We're going to try to analyze what are the obligations as a result of damage caused by one's own body or caused by one's articles. So that you have body and articles as a source of damage, and also falling victim to these fallen items. Someone's hurts themselves, or someone's vessels break. In our discussion, we're going to make reference to Mr. 1 falling, causing damage to Mr. 2, and upon Mr. 2's falling, Mr. 3 experiences a fall as a result of Mr. 2. In all of these cases, we're going to be looking at the body, the gufo, and their articles, mamono. Another point I want to make at the outset is that the Gemara text itself, in my opinion, is very, very brief. It's very terse and abbreviated. In order to appreciate what the Gemara is saying in its very few words, it will be necessary to learn through, as things stand now, all of the Rashi on the sugya. We're here right now at the lower part of Lamed Aleph Omid Aleph. The accompanying Rashi explanation starts on Omid Beis, the second narrow line of the Rashi commentary. So that, though we'll read the Gemara and maybe offer nothing more than a very superficial translation, recognize that the understanding of the Gemara will be based on our reading through, learning through the Rashi commentary. And the pertinent Rashi for the Gemara here on Omid Aleph takes up most of the narrow lines of the Rashi commentary on Omid Beis. So as we go through the Gemara here and offer very little explanation, recognize that when we finish reading the Gemara, we'll then go into the Rashi, and that will have to serve as our explanation of this rather terse piece of Gemara. This phenomenon of terseness continues till the Mishnah on the bottom of Omid Beis. So it will be incumbent upon us, as I say, as things appear now, to go through the Rashi on the sugya. And you'll notice that Rashi himself, whereas the Gemara is terse, Rashi needs to fill in a great deal of information. That having been said, we now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rova, Rishon, the first one to fall, Chayov Benizke Sheni, is going to have to compensate for damages to the second person, the fellow that tripped on the first guy. Bein Benizke Gufo, Bein Benizke Mamono. Now here we already see phrases that are very terse. References made to Nizke Gufo, body damage, and Mamono, article damage. We have, as we said earlier, we have to look into the cause, mainly is it number one's body that's causing number two to fall, and we have to look into number one's articles that fell and their ability to cause damage to Mr. 2. Damage to Mr. 2 might be in terms of his own body injury, or it might be in terms of Mr. 2's vessels breaking. In the meantime, Rava says that the first fellow is Chayev. Benizke Sheni has to compensate for damage to the second fellow, whether it be Nizke Gufo or Nizke Mamono. That, as I said, is not clear what those terms mean right now. Sheni, the second fellow, who we just saw had fallen, Chayov Benizke Shlishi, he will have to compensate for damage to a third party, Benizke Gufo Avolo Benizke Mamono. Here a distinction is made. Whereas the first fellow we say is Chayev across the boards, Bein Benizke Gufo, Bein Benizke Mamono, the second fellow, vis-a-vis damage to the third guy, a distinction is made between Nizke Gufo versus Nizke Mamono. Once again, we haven't explained anything yet. The Gemara asks a question. Monafshach. Either way, E niskal posheahu, if tripping is viewed as an act of negligence, of irresponsibility, sheni nami lechayev, the second fellow should be chayev just the same way the first fellow was chayev, without any distinction between niske gufo versus niske mamono. E niskal la posheahu, and if you'll say the tripping is not viewed as an act of negligence, afilu rishonami liftar, so there should be exemption for the first fellow as well. Just like there was some element of exemption for the second fellow, there should be exemption for the first fellow. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Rishon vadai posheahu. The first fellow is definitely a poshea. His tripping is an act of negligence. Sheni, the second fellow, agufo mechayev, for damage that takes place as a result of the second fellow's own body, then he's chayev to compensate. It's like a person who's mazik. Mazik biodaim. A person who damages, who proactively damages, has to compensate for the damage he imposed. So the Gemara is saying, Sheni agufo mechayev, damage that happens as a result of the body of the second fellow, he is obligated to compensate. Dahavi le lamod velo lomad. He should have stood up and didn't. Amomono potter. But for damage that the articles that the second fellow was carrying and the third fellow, let's say, experienced loss because he tripped on the articles of the second fellow, the second fellow is exempt. The Omar Le, he can claim Hai Bira Lav Ano Karise. This pit, namely a source of stumbling, is termed a pit. I didn't, Karise literally means I didn't dig it. This pit I did not dig. Meaning the presence of my vessels on the ground right now over which you tripped is not something that I created. I didn't proactively put my vessels on the ground through tripping over the first fellow, so my vessels ended up on the ground. So I'm not responsible for the damage that my vessels as categorized as bore, as categorized as pit, would have imposed, would have created damage created by my vessels. I'm not responsible for that. The Gemara asks Meisvei. We have a Tanaic source that reads as follows: Kulon chayovin al nizke gufon ufturin al nizke mamonon. They are all, and they are all, kulon is all of them, sounds like all the people involved. We had a type of chain collision. Well, the source here says that all are obligated for nizke gufan, damage caused by their respective bodies, and upturin, and exempt al niske mamonon, on they are exempt for damage created by their possessions, by their articles. My lava filu rishon, is this not in fact including even the first guy, namely that the first guy's articles that may have caused damage will not impose responsibility on the first guy? And by saying this, we're in effect saying, and this is a point that you would see in the Rashi, that niskal la poshea. We would be concluding, if we were to stop here, we would be concluding that the tripping is not viewed as an act of negligence. And we have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this arrow, which points to the right in between the lines, and the top line. The top line, we were explaining Rava as holding that the Rishon is definitely Poshea. That's Niskal Poshea. And here, as a result of this question from the Tanaic source, we are concluding that Niskal Lav Poshea. Well, that would be then a question on Rava. The Gemara's response to that is Lo, Labarmi Rishon. The source speaks about exemption for Niske Mimona, but that's with the exception of the first one. The first one doesn't enjoy that exemption. Question, Valkulam Katani, but the source says all of them, which would seem to include the first fellow also, exemption for damage his vessels are responsible for. Oh, the Gemara answers, Amar Ravada Barava Kulon Hanizokin. The word kulam refers to all those that experienced damage. The first guy is not said to have experienced damage. In other words, he's not a victim of someone causing him damage. Nizokin are victims of someone causing damage. So the kulam refers to the second fellow onwards. But the first person to have fallen, that's Niskal Poshea. Tripping is considered an act of negligence. The Gemara asks, Hai Mai, how is this to be understood? E Amris Bishma Filu Rishon, if you say that the source is referring to the first fellow as well as being exempt for Nizke Momono, Hainu Dikotoni Kulon. So I understand the presence of the word kulam, an umbrella inclusive expression, including the first fellow. Elo Yamers Labarmi Rishon. But if you're going to say it's a reference to everyone except for the first fellow, my kulon, why the choice of the word kulam, Lisni Hanizokin? So shouldn't the source have said, instead of kulon, it should have said, Hanizokim Chayovim Al Niske Gufon Upturin Al Niske Al Momonam. Al Nizke Momonam. But the source didn't read like that. Therefore, we have to reevaluate what did Rava say. And that would bring us to stage two. Before we get to that, we're now going to embark on our study of Rashi on this sugya. As we said, the Rashi is very thorough. He adds a tremendous amount of information that I don't think one would see on his own by simply looking at the Gemara text that we just read. So our job right now is to go through Rashi, explaining the Gemara from the bottom of the last four lines of Omid Aleph till this point. And then when we get to the end of the Rashi on this point, we'll then pick up the Gemara, and then Amir Tzishem go through the Rashi on the subsequent piece of Gemara. In the meantime, we start with the Rashi, as we said earlier, on the second narrow line, or if you prefer, six lines from the top of the Rashi commentary, and Rashi from here till the lower part of the narrow lines, five lines before they get wide, deals with the Gemara from Omid Aleph. We have a little, let's say, chart-like note in the margin. We haven't filled in the details that we leave up to each one of you, but these little charts simply indicate in the upper corner of the chart, you could see Mazik, and then across the top, Guf of Aleph, the first one, and Momon of Aleph, the reference to the body of Mr. One, or the articles of Mr. One. Going down the side of the chart, you can see Nizak, the victim, Guf, Shani, Momon, Shani. The first, after the mazik, the source of damage, the first fellow fell, and his body is the source of Mr. Two stumbling over it, or articles of Mr. One. Then the victim, Mr. Two's body is a victim of tripping over either the body of Mr. One or the mumon of Mr. One, Mr. Aleph. And likewise, the mumon of Mr. Bays, Mr. Two, is damaged either through the body of Mr. One or through the articles of Mr. One. And the same analysis will apply to Mr. Two after he fell and his articles are strewn on the floor. So he becomes not only a victim of one, but he now is a source of damage vis-a-vis Mr. Three, Mr. Gimel. And that is what we're trying to illustrate on these with these little diagrams. But now we turn to the Rashi on the second narrow line, Vahochi Pirusho. Thusly, we explain what Rava said on the bottom of Omed Aleph. Rishon Chayav Benizkei Sheni. Rava had said that the first fellow is Chayav to damages to the second fellow. Bein Shenizak Begufo Shel Rishon. Ubein Shehuzak Bemomono Shel Rishon. The second fellow is a victim, whether he's a victim as a result of the body of Mr. One or the articles of Mr. One. Gufo Kedin Mazik. The body of Mr. One is legally like a person who does damage. A person who does damage, V'chayev Af Al Kalim Desheni. As a result, a person who damages, if he hurts his a fellow man bodily, or he hurts where he ruins a fellow man's vessels, he has to compensate. Degufo lo mashivinon le kedin borb. We don't look at a person's body, we don't look at a person's body with the legal status of a bor, a pit, a stumbling block. A person's body is not a pit. You'll say, what difference does it make? A pit, by virtue of the scriptures, is exempt for the destruction of vessels. A person, on the other hand, who damages, he has to compensate for vessels he destroyed. Umamono, the vessels of Mr. One, Havele Betoras Bor. The vessels of Mr. One take on the legal status of a pit, and whatever laws apply to pit-related damage, the vessels of Mr. One will have that status. And as a result, the vessels of Mr. One, V'chayev al guf sheni, the vessels of Mr. One are going to be responsible for damage done to the body of Mr. Two. So Mr. One has to pay for bodily damage that Mr. Two experienced over tripping over Mr. One's whatever Mr. One was carrying and is strewn on the floor. Mr. Two trips over that, hurts his body. Mr. One has to compensate. Upoter al kalov. However, if Mr. Two's vessels are damaged through the articles of Mr. One, there is exemption. Why? Because the vessels of Mr. One are considered a bor, and a bor is exempt from damage caused to vessels. Im huzak momon bimomon, poter, as we just explained, that the momon of Mr. Two is exempt for the momon damage, I should say the momon of Mr. One is exempt for damage caused to the momon of Mr. Two. And that's what Rashi means here. Im huzak momon bimomon poter. If the momon of two is damaged on the momon of one, he is exempt. The owner of the first, Mr. One, is exempt. The bor chayabo nizge odom, a pit, holds, creates responsibility for damage caused to persons. When we saw the Xeris HaKosov that says, the Gemara said, Shor, to the exclusion of person. That's true that persons are exempt. The Pasuk, by the way, that we just cited is a Pasuk in the case of pits, bore damage. And the word Shor comes to exclude people who are damaged by, let's say, fall into a pit. That is true in Katla. regarding the death of a person. The owner of the pit does not have to pay money, pay kofar, for a person that died in his pit. However, damage to a person, the owner of the pit must compensate. Upotar bo es hakelim. Pit. Bor is exempt from destruction of vessels. Vesheni chayav benizke shlishi. Up till now, we were explaining what Rava meant when Rava said on Omid Aleph, Sheni chayav benizke, I should say, Rishon chayav benizke sheni, bein benizke gufo, bein benizke mamono. That phrase was explained by Rashi till this point. And you can see, counting the words of Gemara versus the number of words in Rashi, how terse the Gemara really was. Now, Rava went on to say, if you're looking at the bottom of Omen Aleph, Rava also said, Sheni chayav benizke shlishi benizke gufa v'lo benizke mamona. What does that mean? So we continue in the Rashi. V'sheni chayav benizke shlishi, the second fellow in our chain reaction, is chayav for damage to Mr. 3, kedin mazik, hecha dehuzak begufo shel sheni, where Mr. 3 experienced damage on the body of Mr. 2, so Mr. 2 has to compensate. Avolo benizke mamono, shemamono shel sheni izik es hashlishi begufo, eino chayav. If the articles of Mr. 2 are the cause of damage to the body of Mr. 3, the Mr. 2 is not obligated to compensate. Why not? Did we not say before that articles might be viewed as a bore, and a bore does have to compensate to body damage to people? Not so here, because afilu toras bor ein lo al hakederos shel sheni lischayev mashehizik. It's true. We said before the articles of Mr. 1 have the status of a pit, but not the articles of Mr. 2. The articles of Mr. 2 do not have the status of a pit. And how far does that go? V'afilu hizik begufo shel shlishi. The articles of Mr. 2 do not have the status of a pit, even if the body of Mr. 3 got damaged by tripping over the articles of Mr. 2. So we, at this point, we finished Rashi's commentary on Rava's initial presentation. However, the Gemara on Omid Aleph, second line from the bottom, raised a question. There seems to be some kind of inconsistency over here. And now we read the Rashi explaining Rava's, explaining the question on Rava. Monavshach. Either way you look at things, the mashvis lemamono shorishon bor umamono desheni poter. How can you categorize the momon of Mr. 1 as a pit, and the momon of Mr. 2 causing damage to Mr. 3 as being innocent? If tripping is considered an act of irresponsibility, if you're saying that tripping is viewed as negligence and it's tantamount to throwing articles into a public thoroughfare, causing people to trip, and that's why the momon of Mr. 1, the articles of Mr. 1, create culpability. Sheni nami nechayev anizke shlishi, the avid momono legufo shel shlishi. The articles of Mr. 2 should cause a culpability for Mr. 2 on damage to Mr. 3, where Mr. 3 experienced bodily damages through the vessels of Mr. 2. So if the vessels of Mr. 1 create culpability for damage to Mr. 2, let the vessels of Mr. 2 create culpability for Mr. 2 to compensate 3 when Mr. 3 experiences damage. And yet, Rava in his initial statement said that the second fellow is chayav for damages that he creates bodily, but not for damages through his vessels. So the Rashi continues. Ve'i la posheahu, and if the act of stumbling, of tripping, is not considered negligence, the onus mashvisle, and you'll view it as something beyond one's control, afilu rishon niftar, afilu nizokin dehizik begufo, for kolshe came b'mamono, if niskal is considered like oinus, then Mr. One should be totally exempt. Exempt for damage caused upon his body, that he bodily, people tripped over him, his body, and certainly for people tripping over his vessels. At this point, we've finished the Rashi, as is pertinent to the Gemara on Omid Aleph. We continue with the Rashi, where he starts explaining the Gemara from the top here of Omid Beis, the Gemara that we read already. Let's continue, therefore, in Rashi. The Gemara had said, Rishon Vadai Posheahu. The first fellow is definitely, in his tripping, is definitely viewed as negligent. Deminafshe Nofal. He fell on his own. He didn't trip over someone else. He fell on his own. Hilkoch Gufo Have Kemazik. Therefore, his body is considered like a person proactively causing damage. Ve'amamono, and regarding the articles of Mr. One, Have Le Kerebur, his articles are viewed as one who digs a pit in the public thoroughfare. Umichayev, Miho Agufo Desheni. And as such, even the articles of Mr. Two, of Mr. One, that is, even the articles of Mr. One, it's not a person doing damage, but it's viewed as a pit. And a pit is responsible for body damage imposed on people. And therefore, Gufo Desheni, the bodily damage that Mr. Two experiences over the articles of Mr. One, will hold Mr. One responsible. Now, I'm going to add, the articles of Mr. One will not be responsible for damage caused to the articles of Mr. Two, because a pit is exempt from compensating for the destruction of vessels. The Kosova Rava, and Rava in his presentation in our sukya, holds the Rabbonin lo pligi ole de Rabbi Meir beniska posheahu. Rava's take on things is that the Rabbonin do not argue with Rabbi Meir regarding Niskal as being Poshea. They both hold, both opinions, Rabbonin and Rabbi Meir, Niskal tripping is Poshea's negligence. And that approach of Rava is not like that of Abaye. Kidu'uki le'el Abaye de betarti pligi. Abaye had presented the Machlokis, Rabbi Meir and the Chomim, on two planes. Rava says, not so. Ela be'afker nezokavu depligi. There is a Machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim regarding a responsibility for someone who renounced ownership of vessels and then damage resulted. Aval niskal mi'atzmo poshehu ledivrei kol. As far as Rava is concerned, tripping on one's own is considered an act of negligence according to all Tanaic opinions. So, with that in mind, I understand how the Rishon is, what the Rishon is chayav for. The Rishon, the first fellow to fall, is responsible for damage done to the second fellow. If the damage to the second fellow is a result of his falling over the body of Mr. One, so Mr. One is obligated to compensate for bodily damage to Mr. Two and to vessel damage to Mr. Two. if Mr. 2 trips over the vessels of Mr. 1. So Mr. 1 will compensate for body damage to Mr. 2, but not for vessel damage to Mr. 2's vessels. Rashi continues. Shani, the second fellow who fell now over, he fell over the first fellow. Shani benefiloso onushu. His falling is considered oinus, is considered not poshe, it's not considered negligence, it's considered something beyond his control. And therefore, the din changes, the law is different. Agufo miho mechayev kemazik biyodayim. For damage that Mr. 2's body is responsible for, that is considered like a person who proactively damages. Why? His culpability is based on his remaining in a fallen position when he could have stood up. So, as far as damage that the body of Mr. 2 creates, that's like Odom HaMazik. Amamono Potter Legamri Vafilo Hoyolo Lamot. However, articles of Mr. 2 are totally exempt. Whereas the articles of Mr. 1 that cause bodily damage to Mr. 2, there is responsibility. Not so regarding the articles of Mr. 2, total exemption. Even if you're talking about a time frame in which Mr. 2 could have arisen, why are the articles of Mr. 2 totally exempt? The Rashi continues, based on the Gemara, the Omar Le, Mr. 2 can proclaim to Mr. 3, Hai Biro Lavano Karisel Arishon. This pit is not something I created. It's the first guy that's responsible for my vessels being strewn here on the floor. Umafkir Nizokov Liachar Nefilas Oines Amor Leel de Potter. I think it's reasonable to assume that the vessels of Mr. 2 are smashed. He renounces ownership over them, and damage that happens as a result or over them does not carry with it any responsibility, any culpability. So the vessels of Mr. 2 are totally exempt from any damage that might be that they might cause. At this point in the Gemara, we have heard Rava's explanation for why he makes a distinction between Mr. 1 and Mr. 2. However, the Gemara then raised an objection from a Tanaic source, and in the initial reading of the Tanaic source, it seemed that no distinctions were made between Mr. 1 and Mr. 2. Let's continue in the Rashi. Meisvei kulon chayova mal nizke gufon, shehizik gufon es achirim. They, all those people that fell in our scenario, any damage that happens over their bodies, as a result of their bodies, they have to compensate for that, whether their bodies injured bodies of others or caused the breaking of vessels of others. Upturin al nizke mamonon. Rashi continues, shehizik mamonon es achirim. Were their articles damaged others? Total exemption. Vekosalka daita hashto de legamri potar lahu afilu hizik hamomon es guf chavero. The thinking right now is that the articles are totally exempt even if they injure the body of the victim. My lava afilu rishon. The suggestion is even the articles of Mr. 1 that cause body damage to Mr. 2, Mr. 1 is exempt. And from here we see then that the tripping that Mr. 1 experienced is not an act of negligence. Well, there's a detail that Rashi picks up on right now. All right, So it seems that tripping is not an act of negligence, but we did say in the source itself, it says that the damage that body of Mr. One causes does carry with it culpability. The agufo hu de mechayev. Why? The havile lamo, he had enough time to stand up and didn't. The afal gav, the triloso onus, even though the initial tripping was beyond his control, because of what we're suggesting right now, that niskala poshea, chayov, he nevertheless bears responsibility. The begufo, lo mashvinon le din bor. We don't look at his body as a pit. The name all that we should be able to say concerning his body, mafkir nizokov achar nefilas onus, who he's renounced ownership of himself after falling under onus circumstances. Elamazik mamish, who rather this is a person doing damage. The odam lo have a bor, a person is not a pit. So the person, Mr. One who fell, granted he fell under onus, uncontrollable circumstances, nevertheless he should have stood up. And therefore, for damage over his body, there is culpability. Avamamono pater. But over his articles, even Mr. One, there is exemption. Now, at this point in the Gemara, then, we had a question. Because the conclusion was that Niskal Lav Poshea. And Rava had claimed that the first fellow is definitely chayav for damage imposed to Mr. Two, whether Mr. Two's body is hurt or Mr. Two's vessels break over the body of Mr. One. Mr. One is chayav because of niskal poshea. And we saw that certainly in with regard to the law concerning the vessels of Mr. One being responsible for body damage to Mr. Two. That's what Rava said originally. Why is it that the vessels of Mr. One are responsible for damage to the body of Mr. Two? Because Niskal Poshea. Here we see Niskal Lav Poshea. It says Turanal Niske Mamonon, the vessels of Mr. One are exempt for damage done. The Gemara, in defense of the Rava, we continue in the Rashi. Lo, labar mi risham. At this point, the exemption does not include the first fellow. Then as we went on in the Gemara, the Gemara said that makes the reading of the original source difficult. Because if you want to, does it not say kulon? And if you want to follow Rava, who said labar mi risham, then the source should have said Hanizukin. The source would have been talking about the victims to the exclusion of the first guy. At this point, we go back to the Gemara. We have to somehow make a new presentation of Rava in light of the Tanaic source that we've read. So we go back to the Gemara text, which continues to be terse, as we'll see later when we get back to the Rashi. Let's go back to the Gemara. We're looking at crown, number two, Elo Oma Rava. Rishon Chayov Bain Benizke Gufo Desheni Bain Benizke Momono Desheni. The body of the first one is Chayov, whether damage is done to the body of Mr. Two or the articles of Mr. Two. Visheni Chayov Benizke Shlishi Benizke Gufo Avolo Benizke Momono. The second fellow is Chayov to damage, is culpable for damage done to the third guy, only regarding the third fellow's body and not the third fellow's articles. My Taimo. Why is this the case with regard to Mr. Two? The Havele Bor, the body of Mr. Two, is viewed as a pit. Volomotsinu Bor Shechayavo as Hakelim. And we don't find a Bor being obligated to compensate for vessels. Hence, body of Mr. Two that damages vessels of Mr. Three, there is exemption. But now in making this presentation, Rava is claiming that the body of Mr. Two is viewed as a pit. Can you say such a thing? That works out well with Shmuel's approach to the topic of pits. Shmuel's approach is that all takolas, all stumbling blocks, are considered a pit. Even if it's not unowned, even if its ownership is not renounced, and a takola, a cause of stumbling, can have a din, can have the legal status of a pit. Aval, and with that in mind, then, that a pit, body of Mr. 2, responsible for body injuries to Mr. 3, but not to vessel damage to Mr. 3, because pits are exempt from vessel damage. So this analysis that Rava is offering fits in with Shmuel. Elo l'Rav diomar yafgriyin ilo lo. But according to Rav, that says only items whose ownership has been renounced take on the status of a pit. Articles whose ownership is not renounced are not considered a pit. Then my ikolamemar. How is Rava going to account for what he just said regarding Mr. Two and his culpability? A person doesn't declare his body unowned. So if a person's body is not unowned, it would seem to be that he would have the din of a person who's mazik. And a person who's mazik, there's no distinction between the injury or the damage done to a body of a person, nor the injury or the destruction of vessels. At this point, we go back to the Rashi. Rashi, where we left off. We're talking about Rashi on the seventh wide line, Ella Omar Rava. Al Korchuch Rava Lo Chiev Horishon Benizke Mamono Sheizik Besheni. Rava, then, as a result of the question we raised from the Tanaic source, cannot hold the articles of Mr. 1 responsible for damage done to Mr. 2. Why is that the articles of Mr. 1 cannot be held responsible? Delav posheahu velo Chilek bein Rishon Lisheni Ela Benizikin Shehizik Gufo. As far as articles of Mr. One are concerned, they are not considered a result of an act of their being on the ground is not there as a result of negligence. And so therefore there's no distinction between the articles of Mr. One and the articles of Mr. Two. The distinction between them will be with regard to the gufo, the body damage the damage that happens as a result of their bodies. V'hochi Omar Rava, Rishon have a gufo mazik. The first fellow to have fallen, he is considered a person who is damaging. V'chayev afilu benizke mamone shelsheni. The body of Mr. One is culpable for damage done not only to the body of Mr. 2, but to the vessels of Mr. 2. Chayol v'hoyol lo lamod. Since Mr. 1 should have stood up, whatever damage that happens after that amount of time lapses, in other words, he tarries in his fallen position, he has to compensate for that, whether Mr. 2's body is damaged or Mr. 2's vessels are damaged over the body of 1. Of all, Shani, the second fellow, afilu hoyol olamod lo mechayev kulei karishon. The second fellow who causes damage through his body to Mr. 3 is not going to be as culpable as the body of Mr. 1. The rishon have a posheat femisheni. The first one is considered more poshea, more irresponsible than the second guy. Hilkuch Rishon Vaday Habe Mazik. The first fellow is certainly a Mazik. And I believe the emphasis once again is placed on the idea that he should have stood up and didn't. Vesheni Mistaya. Mistaya means it's enough. Imashrisle Lugufe Bor. If we view Mr. Two as a pit. By viewing Mr. Two as a pit, as a pit, he is responsible for injuries sustained by Mr. Three bodily, but not Mr. Three's vessels. We don't find a pit ever guilty for vessel damage, vessel destruction. The Braisa above that we read, that appeared on the fourth line from the top, where it said, all are chayav al nizke gufo, the mashma afilu sheni. What is the Braisa referring to? Kagon shehizik es gufo shoshlishi. So the all of the bodies are responsible for subsequent body injuries sustained by the next guy. As far as the vessels, we saw already the vessel of Mr. One being exempt because Niska Lav Poshea. Ha Nicho L'Shmuel, this analysis works out according to Shmuel. Iko L'Meima D'Gufa Shalsheni Is Lei Torah's Bor. We can describe the body of Mr. Two as having the status of a pit, and with that we explain why Mr. 3's body injury results in culpability of Mr. 2. So Mr. 2's body is viewed as a pit. That fits in well with the scheme of Shmuel, that in order to be a pit, in order to have pit status, it is not necessary to have renouncement of ownership. Continuing in Rashi, Elo Rav Diomar Ilo Afgre Lo Avibor, but according to Rav that says something that's whose ownership is not renounced is not a pit. Bishlamo mamon iko lemeimar de mafkirinish. As far as Rav is concerned, you can speak about articles being renounced, as ownership of articles being renounced. Elo guf mi mafkir, but a body, does one renounce ownership of that? Obviously no. So the explanation that we gave for Rava, in which we described the Shani as a boar, doesn't fit in with Rav. As a result, we turn back to the Gemara, and we are now at stage 3. Stage 3 is a throwback to that which was mentioned earlier, though. Li'olam kida Omar me'ikora. We rather go back to our first approach in explaining Rava. And we said, but with his explanation, what we're doing is we're saying we're going back to approach number one. Approach number one, though, ran into difficulty. Udekashyaloch kulon chayovin, the expression kulon chayovim, did not fit into the scheme of things according to Rava's first approach. We said, if you want to have Rava's first approach accepted, it should have said Hanizokin are all chayav on niske gufan and potter on niske mamona. And nevertheless, the Gemara says, let's go back to that first approach. And as far as kulon chayavin, tirgimo Rav Ado bar Menyumi kamei de Ravina. Rav Ado explains. Shehuzku Kalim Bekalim. The source is referring to vessels that were damaged through vessels. Vessels of two damaged through vessels of one. Vessels of three damaged through the vessels of two. Now we go back to the Rashi. Tirgimo Rav Ado Bar Menyumi. I hope everyone sees we're at the Rashi where we left off before. So Rav Ada says, explain, Tirgamo, explain, La Braisa de Liel, the Tanaic source that we had seen earlier. Kagon Shusku Kalim Bekalim Ulaolam Milse Derava Kidahave Shaminon Le Meikora. And we're going to maintain Rava as we saw earlier, initially. The Gufo Derishon Visheni Have Kimazik Biodayim. The bodies of one and two are like proactive damage. The Chayovim Al Hakol, and are therefore obligated for all damage that they cause. V'afilu l'shmuel d'yomar d'mili d'lo afgire have bar hanimili b'mamon. And even according to Shmuel, that says something that you did not renounce ownership can have the status of a pit. That's when you're dealing with mamon, with articles. Aval b'gufo, but when you're dealing with a body of a person, Adam hu v'lo bor. That's a person, he's not a pit. V'chayav al niske kelim. And as such, a person that does damage has to compensate for damage that he causes to vessels. U'mamoyne shorishon l'shmuel. The articles of the first fellow, according to Shmuel. Bein afgire bein lo afgire have bor. Whether ownership of them has been renounced or not, it's a pit. U'larav. According to Rav, if its ownership has been renounced, if its ownership has not been renounced, then it's called your mamon, that's mazik. And chayav bakol, you have to compensate even for articles that got damaged. V'i afgire have a bor. If he renounced ownership, it's a pit. The niskal, someone who tripped on his own, he was acting with considered an act of negligence. Umamono shelsheni potter af aliske gufashlishi. The articles of Mr. 2 are exempt even for body damage imposed to Mr. 3. The nezik hamufkar ayadei oynis hu. It's a case of a source of damage that's whose ownership was renounced because of its falling through onus, through uncontrollable circumstances. Vinami lo afgire, and even if he didn't renounce ownership, shorohu v'tofach biape, it's no less or no worse than a case of a person who owns an ox that locked the ox in properly. And then, if the ox breaks out and does damage, it's a case of onus, beyond your control, and you're not responsible. Umilse derava misukma bein larav bein l'shmuel. And Rava's teaching can be maintained, whether according to Rav's approach to Bor or Shmuel. Udekashiloch braiso dekotoni shafilu rishon mamona potter. And you'll ask, well, the Brisa said that the first guy's mamon is exempt. Hainu hecho dehusku kelim desheni bekelov derishon. The miftar mishum deborninu. The vessels of Mr. 1, even though we said at this point in the Gemara that we're going back to Rava's initial approach, that Niskal is poshea, the vessels of Mr. 1, nevertheless, are considered a pit. And a pit is not responsible for the damage that happens to the vessels of Mr. 2. Mishum debor ninu, velo chayev boas akelim. Ula Rav bedafkarinu. As far as Rav is concerned, in order for Rava to make sense, we'll have to say that Mr. 1 had renounced ownership of those vessels. And according to Shmuel, even if Mr. 1 did not renounce ownership of them, they're still considered a pit. Ve'hachi kotoni. And now, what Rashi does is, in light of everything that we've said, we have to explain that Tanaic source, and it should conform to Rava number 1 and not run into the problem of Kulon Chayovim when it should have said Hanizokin. And so we want to preserve the kulam chayovin, and things should run smoothly. V'hachi katani kulon chayovin al nizke shemazik gufo. They're all culpable for damage that their bodies cause. V'afilu hizik kelim, even if vessels are that which is damaged, the gufo d'adam mazikhu. A person's body is like a person who proactively damages. A person who damages, even if he damages vessels, he has to compensate. Uftur and al nizke mamonon. What does the ptur, the exemption of nizke mamonon, mean? Im hizik mamonon es kli chavireim. If their articles cause damage to articles of subsequent victims, Dafilu Mamon Arishon, even the articles of Mr. Want, Femi Borlo Mashvisle, they're not going to be more culpable than a pit. Shein Lucha Poshia Yosem Mikora Bor, even if you want to view the articles of Mr. One, the result of Pshia, of irresponsibility, which we are saying according to the original presentation of Rava, nevertheless, you can't say that it's worse, more responsible than a guy who's Mikuribor, who put a kelim, someone who digs a pit in a public thoroughfare. That's the ultimate irresponsibility. And yet, there's a scriptural exemption for damage to vessels. Avol, hizik momono es goof. However, if articles of these people damaged bodies, then Yeshman Chayev, Yeshman Potter, then there are distinctions. But the source wasn't dealing with that. The source that spoke about Ufturin al Niske Mamonon was, as the Gemara said, as Rav Adobar Minyumi explained where we left off, it's the vessels causing damage to the vessels of the subsequent individuals. And we speak about exemption of vessels, even the vessels of Mr. One, but only in the context of vessels of Mr. 1 causing damage to vessels of Mr. 2. However, when it comes to mamon causing damage to bodies, the people, there are distinctions, and Rashi explains. Rishon Chayov, the vessel of Mr. 1 causing damage to the body of Mr. 2, that is Chayov. Vesheni Potter, and the second fellow, his vessels causing body damage to Mr. 3, there is exemption. The girsa hachi isa. And the girsa is as follows. Oma rova, rishon chayav benizke sheni. The first guy is responsible for the damage to the second guy, bain benizke gufo, bain benizke mamono. Whether the second fellow experienced body injury or vessel damage. Sheni chayav benizke shlishi, benizke gufo, avolo, benizke mamono. The second fellow is chayav for damage done to the third guy, only if it's the third guy's body, not to the third guy's vessels. Monafshach. If Niskal is Poshea, so then the second fellow should be held responsible. Niskal Poshea Rishonami Liftar. First guy should be exempt. Rishon Vade Poshehu. The first guy is definitely Poshea. Vishani Agufo Mikhaev Davile Lamod Vlo Omad. The second guy is responsible for damage his body causes because he should have stood up and didn't. And as such, he's considered responsible for damages that his body caused. Amomono Potter, regarding damages that the articles of Mr. 2 caused, there is exemption. Diomalehi, Mr. 2 can claim, Hai biro lava no karise, I didn't dig this pit. And Rashi goes on to say, discusses a girsa, a version that we should not have over here. And with that, we go back to the Gemara text. Omar Mor, a quote from that which saw earlier. Im machmas rishon naflu, if as a result of the first one they all fell, then rishon chayav benizkei kulon. The first fellow is responsible for the damage to all of them. I should point out that we have an arrow to the side of the Gemara text, which points back to Omer Aleph, where you can see where this quote comes from. So nevertheless, we did see this point back on Omer Aleph. If all of them, we had a chain reaction, but if they all fell as a result of the first one, Mr. One, then Mr. One is chayev for the damage to all of them. The Gemara asks, Machmas Rishon, Hechi Nofel, how could, as a result of the first guy, not only Mr. Two trips, but Mr. Three trips, and Mr. Four trips, all over the first guy, how could that be? We have two illustrations in the Gemara. Rav Pop Omar, the Posko Le'urche Kishildo, Mr. One, in tripping, he ended up lying across the width of the road, so that his body length was blocking the entire road. The entire width of the road was blocked by the body of Mr. One. So Mr. Two tripped over Mr. One, Mr. Three tripped over Mr. One, as such. And how is that? Because paske le'urche kishilda. A shilda is, Rashi says, like an avela, like a corpse that's thrown out onto the road, and simply fills up the whole width of the road. The second analogy, Rav Zvid Omar, kechutra de samyusa, like the stick of a blind man. Rashi says sometimes in trying to feel his way, a blind person will position a stick across the width of the road. Rashi himself doesn't say or doesn't point out what difference is there between Rav Papa's explanation and Rav Zvid's explanation. However, in Tosfos there is a discussion about the nafgamina, the difference between these two approaches. So for those who are interested, you can take a look in Tosfos Di Ramaska Kuchutra de Samyusa. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark and Morris, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.